HAJPI, Scientific Voices.
Hi, my name is Ariane Wartenberg. I'm a researcher at the Leibniz Institute for Agricultural Landscape Research, and I'm part of the CLEAR project. We stand for Collaborative Landscape Planning for Enhanced Agrobiodiversity and Resilience. And the CLEAR project was funded as part of the 2022 joint FACE-JPI SUSCROP call on agrobiodiversity.
My name is Mattias Jonsson. I work at the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences as a senior lecturer in terrestrial ecology. I am the project coordinator of the IMPRESS project, Improving Agrobiodiversity for Resilient Pest Control Services Across Landscapes. It is important to increase biodiversity in our food systems for several reasons. It can help us get a more varied and nutritious diet because the variety of locally sourced food will increase, and because we can use less agrochemical inputs that may harm both human and environmental health. Also, and really importantly, increased biodiversity can improve the resilience of our food systems to climate variability and global environmental change. Since different organisms are adapted to different environmental conditions, increasing the biodiversity of those species is expected to imply that they can continue to deliver ecosystem services such as food, pollination, or pest control, even when the conditions change.
My understanding, and I think that of my consortium, is that we look at agrobiodiversity as the comprehensive diversity of both planned and associated elements in an agricultural landscape. And so that can be understood at the genetic, at the species, and at the habitat level. Why is it important? That's a very big question, I think. I mean, first, agricultural systems, which include food systems, occupy a lot of our global terrestrial land, and intensified agricultural systems, which comprise the majority of our food systems, are one of the main drivers of biodiversity loss. So I think it's important to target food systems to improve general biodiversity. And then why is biodiversity important? You know, it generally supports a whole range of ecosystem services that are needed for ecosystem resilience and support our human lives. And this is particularly pronounced, I would say, in food systems, because we really depend on these essential services that are also supported by agrobiodiversity for our food. So, you know, you have things like water filtration, soil health components, pollination, all of that plays a role. And then, of course, that also connects to economic benefits and people's livelihoods. And then maybe another point is landscape aesthetics, where I think we all like beautiful landscapes, and diversity can also contribute to that.
So agrobiodiversity has a critical role to play in ecological connectivity, the biodiversity of landscapes, and adaptation to climate change. In Europe, agroecosystems are dominating habitat types that have been around for many centuries. And for that reason, a lot of species are well adapted to utilize these systems, at least when they are not too intensively managed or too simplified. If we take measures to support agrobiodiversity, it will restore some of the ecological connectivity that have been lost through agricultural intensification. And this may also, in the end, support biodiversity in other habitat types.
When you have a well-functioning ecosystem with all the components and parts that work well together, then your system is more likely to be able to resist external shocks, including from climate fluctuations or extreme climate events, as you can expect to happen more and more with climate change. So that's one way. And then biodiversity can also contribute more directly to climate change adaptation, for instance, through improved microclimate regulation, which happens when you have more vegetation cover or tree cover. Plant biodiversity can contribute to soil health because it fosters nutrient cycling and also is connected to underground microbial and insect biodiversity. Increasing plant cover and diversity can also contribute to carbon sequestration. So, I mean, there are many ways in which improving agrobiodiversity can make a contribution.
Increasing the levels of agrobiodiversity in agricultural landscapes should make food production and other ecosystem services more resilient to climate change. Again, because different species and varieties are adapted to different climatic conditions.
To me, increasing agrobiodiversity implies, I mean, really changing the way current landscapes are structured. Because as I said earlier, in my understanding, agrobiodiversity refers to the diversity of both plant and animal species in agricultural landscapes. And so to change both of these components, you have to look at not just the elements that compose the landscape, you know, so that could be a diversity of crops or a diversity of non-crop habitats, but also the configuration in which the structures in the landscape are placed. So you can, as I said, you could target increases in crop diversity or crop rotations, this type of interventions, but you can also include measures to increase the diversity of plants and animals that are not directly productive. For instance, by diversifying or improving the habitats of insect and bird species, or including non-productive vegetation patches in the landscape.
Agrobiodiversity has two components: the diversity that we directly manage, for example, the crops, and the wild diversity that is influenced by the changes in management that we do. For example, pollinators, natural enemies of pests. Wild biodiversity can be supported, for example, by reducing tillage intensity or reducing agrochemical inputs, and by creating and restoring semi-natural habitat elements in the surrounding landscape. To transform our food systems, we need to learn to think in longer timescales, aiming to sustain stable food production and other ecosystem services in the long term, rather than just maximizing short-term gains. A key barrier to increasing agrobiodiversity is that our current cropping systems depend heavily on specific management and machinery to function effectively. For example, most modern crop varieties have been bred to function best together with high agrochemical inputs and machinery that's been optimized for large monocultures. In addition, free trade, for example, within the EU, also result in crop specialization to certain regions, and that further then reduces agrobiodiversity. So improved regulations and policies are required to enhance agrobiodiversity, both the managed part and the wild part. Farmers should not be expected to carry the transition costs of this kind of diversification, but they need support through subsidies and certification schemes. Also, to better understand the disadvantages of business as usual policies, the externalized costs of continued intensification and agrochemical use to human health and the environment that is carried by the wider society needs more consideration in economic policies and planning.
So some of the social, economic, and environmental barriers to increased agrobiodiversity are related to a need for, I think, more general increased recognition of the importance of agrobiodiversity. You know, I'm an agroecologist, so for me, I've been studying this for a while, and it's quite clear, but I think on a broader societal level, we're getting there, but we're not quite there yet. And then there's also need for both increased visibility of alternative land management options, so alternative to conventional, you know, large-scale monocropping, but also, this is important, there's a need to increase the viability for farmers from an economic perspective to actually implement these alternative options. And I think this ties into the relationship between increasing agrobiodiversity and farm income, because in the case of some of these diversification measures, there may be some relatively high upfront investment costs or in the beginning some productivity losses depending on how things are implemented. And even though the long-term benefits for system resilience and therefore for farm income are good, in the shorter term, there's really a need to support farmers in this initial investment period.
Agro biodiversity can both affect farm income in the short and in the longer term. So, for example, a higher diversity of natural enemies or pests can provide improved pest control, which in turn then reduces the need for chemical inputs. The biggest gains in terms of farm income can be expected in the longer term, though, since biodiversity is expected to provide resilience. Income is also just one component in the farm's life. With increased biodiversity, you can gain additional benefits. Your production is probably more healthier, and the environment where you work is improved. All these benefits are less tangible, but very important for the whole society and for our landscapes.
So some of the challenges of conducting research to increase agrobiodiversity in our food system are that this term of agrobiodiversity, you know, it's very big. It encompasses a lot of different elements. And so there's a need to maybe narrow down the types of options that are feasible in different regions because of all these social and ecological and economic implications. The need to work at an interdisciplinary level that goes beyond studying agronomic and ecological questions, because actually ensure the practical applicability of research outcomes. It's really important that, you know, you address what farmers actually want or are able to do in the fields. This also represents a big opportunity in conducting research in this space. Because it's such an important problem from a societal perspective right now. I mean, you see that it's relevant. I live in Germany, in Berlin, and we just had a wave of farmer protests a few weeks ago. So it's really an issue that's quite present at the moment. And so there's an opportunity to contribute to that, and also an opportunity to maybe more alternative research models that focus on participatory approaches, where there's really a focus on exchange between researchers and stakeholders. To really ensure that the type of research that we come up with concretely addresses the problems or the demands in particular regions.
A key challenge in conducting research to increase agrobiodiversity in our food systems is that its impacts takes time to realize. And it's often highly scale dependent. So conducting experiments that are large enough spatially and long enough temporally to see the full effects of different measures to improve agrobiodiversity is very difficult. And a further challenge is that agrobiodiversity and its benefits are affected by a multitude of factors that may interact with each other and that are therefore really challenging to tease apart. Agrobiodiversity can be monitored with a range of traps, sampling methods, and through direct observation. Examples are, for example, soil samples to collect soil animals and plant seeds, pitfall traps to catch ground-dwelling insects and arachnids, and malaise and suction traps to assess flying insects. New molecular tools and AI techniques show promise to make these methods more cost-effective in the future.
So some technological solutions that already exist to support agrobiodiversity management is the use of aerial imagery, so drone or satellite images, which allows to check certain agrobiodiversity parameters. For instance, in the CLEAR project, we're still developing our methodology, but one of the indicators we're interested in is hedge habitat extent. And so this is something that you can derive from satellite images, and there are actually already EU level satellite products that you can use for this, or it's also possible to use more specific imagery, you know, for a certain region. That's one example. And then there's also the emerging field of bioacoustics, for example, where I think this is still in development, but you can use sensors in fields to use it in combination with AI to recognize certain insect or bird calls, and that can support monitoring without sending an expert out to actually monitor in person. So yeah, I think it's an interesting space to be in right now because of very rapid technological innovation, both in terms of what satellites and drones and acoustic sensors can actually capture, and also what happens when you combine these methods with evolving AI methodologies.
The IMPRESS project will provide empirical evidence on how to design agricultural landscapes and management in such a way that we can conserve biodiversity and increase the resilience of biological pest control, so that it will be able to persist even under challenging conditions, for example, those caused by climate change. When talking about the global context of our project, the knowledge that we will contribute with can contribute to the broader global sustainability development goals, not only to Goal 15, which speaks about halting biodiversity loss, but also to the other ones that seek to combat climate change, ensure clear water for all, and ensure sustainable consumption and production. Also, in the last global assessment of IPBES, it was indicated that we lack knowledge about resilience.
In the CLEAR project, we're a group of researchers that we're coming together from different disciplines. We have ecologists, political scientists, and anthropologists, among others. And we're really trying to tackle this question of how to find ways of promoting agrobiodiversity in a practical way from the different angles of our disciplines. And so the way that we've set this up is that our project has different components where we look at, on the one hand, the ecological links between diversification practices and biodiversity and ecosystem service outcomes. And then we are also very interested in farmer and other stakeholders' perspectives on these topics and the barriers and the opportunities that they see in promoting agrobiodiversity. And our project also involves policy analysis component, where the idea is to use some of the results from other parts of the project to maybe design more effective policies going forward. And we're trying to lay the focus on really landscape level practices and looking at how policies can support this, for instance, through collaborative approaches. The CLEAR project aims to develop a framework to facilitate the creation of incentives for collaborative landscape management to increase agrobiodiversity. Among other things, this will involve the creation of a list, kind of a wish list of possible indicators that could be used to link management practices in agrobiodiversity and to monitor them going forward. We also include the exploration of possible land use futures in collaboration with stakeholders. And we do all of this through a deep dive into four concrete case studies in Poland, Scotland, Germany, and France. Our main challenge that we're trying to address through all of this is that I think it's clear that there's a need for improved agrobiodiversity, but it is still very difficult to actually implement this on the ground. And so through our research, we hope to inform the development of improved policies and monitoring and evaluation schemes in a way that also fits farmers' objectives and farmers' concerns.